Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just another opportunity to look into your word this morning, another opportunity even to focus on the significance of the birth of your son, Jesus Christ, and what it means for us today. And Lord, we just pray now as we turn to your word that our hearts would be quiet before you this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes I fear as I begin sermons that you may begin to think that I focus too much on what's happening in our day and taking place in our country. The reality is, I believe it's affected us all to some degree. On rare occasions, I believe it has had a positive influence. Just this past week, I was able to call and talk with Tom Andrews. Tom and Helen have not been able to be here because of some health concerns and COVID. And, you know, Tom was saying as they have been kind of shut in and try not to go very far or very many places, that it's been positive for him. It's actually forced him to spend more time in God's Word and study. So there are a few cases in which it has been positive. And by the way, Church, Tom sends his greetings and love to you all. But I think about, for most of us, if we're out and about, it's been kind of depressing. We are constantly reminded of the pandemic. Cannot go a day without being reminded of the importance of wearing a mask. You can't go to a store and shop without being reminded of masks and social distancing as you stand in the checkout line and there are places marked on the floor 6 feet apart. And even as you walked into the church building this morning, we have signs on the door that say masks are required. You can't go to Lowe's without hearing a message come across the speakers telling you to wash your hands, wear a mask, and cough into your elbow. I at least make one trip to Lowe's a week, by the way. I think of some of the other things that have taken place in the past months. I was able to join some pastors for a pastor's breakfast this past week. One of the pastors has had COVID, he and his wife. Another pastor, as they came back from Thanksgiving from being in Michigan, their house was being broke into. Some of his wife's jewelry was stolen. The fact that we've had mail stolen from our mailbox. Who would have ever thought that as a church we would need to install a mailbox with a lock on it? Overall, it's been a difficult time for churches. Activities have been canceled. Celebrations. I mean, this year is the first year since I've been here we've not distributed cookies to local businesses. The first year we've not had a Christmas party. The reality is, it has affected us all. And I don't know where you're at this morning. I know I have talked to a few people who, as they were getting ready to decorate for Christmas, they were just like, I don't feel like it this year. My wife was one of them. She loves to decorate for Christmas. But she struggled to do it this year. And to be honest, so did I. I enjoy outside lights. The inside's my wife's a deal, and she does not want my help inside decorating. And I usually put up a few lights outside, and I had really decided I wasn't going to do it this year. And then I had a change of heart this past Wednesday and put a few lights up outside. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, you know what, I haven't been affected at all by the pandemic or the events of this year. Maybe I'm just the odd one, but who's really struggling to get excited about celebrating Christmas? Honest people, a few hands going up, one way in the back, a few over here. And I think we need to somehow get our focus off of the pandemic and the news and the media and all that's going on. And we need to refocus, and we need to refocus on the significance of what it is we celebrate. I mean, a celebration of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ, it's what gives us hope. It's what allows us to look past the current circumstances, what allows us to look past the year of 2020 to an eternity, for those of us who put our trust in Jesus Christ, an eternity of being in heaven. This morning, I want to look a little bit at the Christmas narrative in Luke chapters 1 and 2. And we're going to see really the Christmas narrative is a narrative of hope. And one thing we need to understand, although we tend to think, and everybody is talking about 2020 as it's such a devastating time for our country, really a devastating time for the world. I mean, this pandemic isn't just in our country, it's everywhere. But we have to understand, for the nation of Israel, for those who held to the Jewish faith, the Jewish descendants, before Christ was born, it was a very dark time. Basically, Israel as a nation had ceased to exist, and they were just a small part of and been taken over by the Rome. All the prophecies, all the revelation that had come from God had ceased, and God had been silent for 400 years. There were no judges. There were no prophets prophesying. There was nothing from God. He was completely silent, leaving them to wonder. And I begin probably, and I have to think, doubts had to flood their minds. And I know they had scriptures, and I know they knew them in their minds. I'm sure they thought of the promises that God gave to Abraham, and that God would bless all nations through Abraham, and that a seed would be multiplied. And then there was the promise of that they would have great abundances of land as they entered into the promised land. And I wonder if they weren't beginning to have doubts, thinking, God, where are you? Why is this happening to us? But the wonderful thing is, as we look at the narrative of the Christmas story, that silence would be broken. As God would begin to work, as God would send the angel Gabriel to Zacharias. We read about Zacharias and Elizabeth in chapter 1. They're the parents of John the Baptist. You know, Zacharias was in the temple. He was serving as the priest, burning incense, when the angel Gabriel would come and visit him. Now, they're an older couple. They're past childbearing years. And his angel says, you're going to have a son, and you should name him John. If I were to go up to Danny and Brenda and give them an announcement, you're going to have a son. Something tells me Danny would probably ask a few questions, much like Zachariah did. And then Danny would end up being silent until the baby was born. That's what happened. The angel's like, how dare you question me? And as a result, Zachariah could not speak until the birth of John. He was mute for 9 months. But as we move on, we see that the same angel would appear to Mary. In Luke 1:35, if you want to turn in your Bibles there, I have it up on the screen for you this morning. We read, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. We see that the Holy Spirit was going to play a role in the birth of Christ. We see that Mary would conceive of the Holy Spirit. The only time on earth where a virgin would actually conceive and have a child. But not only did the Holy Spirit interact with Mary miraculously in that way, he would continue to interact and be part of her life for the next 9 months. A lot of people overlook the fact that this passage says, the highest will overshadow you. And some people may say, well, what's the significance there, Pastor? Well, in Philippians 2, we're told that Jesus Christ is God, that he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the likeness of man. Well, how in the world is it possible for God to take on man? Because what's the problem with mankind? We all have what? A sin nature. Well, is it possible for God to put himself in an earthly, fleshly body with a sinful nature? No, it's not. And that's the significance of the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. It was the Holy Spirit who was, through those 9 months, that kept the body of Christ from receiving a sin nature. What made it possible for Jesus to be fully man and to be fully God at the same time? It's something our minds cannot fathom. The reality is, Mary must have been a special young lady for God to entrust her with his only son, to care for his needs, to raise him as a young boy into a young man. We read that Mary receives this news from the angel, and we're told that immediately she departs and heads to Zechariah and Elizabeth's home. There's some that believe she did this to keep from being shamed in the town of Galilee, but indications are that she did leave right away, so there would be no, she would not be showing that she was pregnant. There wouldn't be anything to show just yet. But when we pick up in verses 39 through 45 of Luke chapter 1, we see how Elizabeth reacts to Mary's arrival. Read, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Well, there's a lot of excitement in these verses. Again, I've said that they're in a very dark time as a nation. They haven't heard from God, and all of a sudden, Elizabeth is pregnant. She's about 6 months along at this point in time, and now Mary comes, and the Holy Spirit reveals to Elizabeth that Mary is carrying the Messiah. And I think of some of the excitement today in our world over a vaccine. And a lot of people have placed their hope in that little bottle that's being distributed all over the United States as I speak to you this morning. Folks, it may not fix the problem. But can you imagine understanding what was taking place in Elizabeth's mind through the Holy Spirit? It was revealed to her that the very things that were prophesied, the very things that they've been hoping for, the very things that God had promised are going to take place. You have to understand, for them in that day, for those that actually saw Jesus Christ, for the Jewish people, their faith became sight. This baby that would be born, he would turn water into wine. He would heal the blind. He would heal the lame. He would raise the dead. They would see it with their very own eyes. Something that they had heard of and something that they had believed in because it had been prophesied in the Old Testament. I think about all this excitement. It is clear that it was revealed to Elizabeth through the Holy Spirit. There's no way she could have known that Mary was pregnant. It's not like Mary had posted it on Facebook or Twitter. It's not like the local news had broadcast, virgin is now pregnant. This child that Mary was carrying was the long-awaited Messiah. And over the next 33 years, they were going to see things that no one had ever seen before. God's one and only Son had entered into the world to save us from our sins. We'll look at a couple more people this morning. We can fast forward 9 months. The census has been decreed. Joseph and Mary have made their way to Bethlehem. Jesus has been born and placed in a manger. The angels have appeared to the shepherds who were watching the sheep. Mary and Joseph would take Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. So we make our way to Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 32. We read, "When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law to the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring salvation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" Now, Mary and Joseph are faithful to keep the law. They took Jesus to Jerusalem for after the days of purification. This would have taken place 40 days after his birth. Process that is laid out in the law. And as they would make the sacrifice, there's something we see here. The sacrifice is a pair of turtle doves and two pigeons. Which this tells us a little bit something about Joseph and Mary. They were poor people. See, interestingly enough, if you read through the Old Testament, you read through the law, God made provisions for those who could not afford the greater sacrifice. Really, what was expected was to sacrifice a lamb, but if you couldn't afford the lamb, then you could sacrifice doves or pigeons. And the more you think about this, how crazy is it that our God would choose to be born into a family that didn't have much? I mean, he just left heaven and all its glory and all its wonder. You think maybe he could have at least, you know, been born in Naples. You know, they have a little nicer homes there than they do in North Fort Myers and the Northwest Cape. But we look at Simeon, a man who was in the temple, a man who the Holy Spirit had been upon him, a man who God had promised, you will see the Christ, you will see the Messiah before you leave this earth. And again, the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon, much like had been revealed to Elizabeth, that this baby that was a little over a month old, was the Messiah. The very one who would bring the gift of salvation. It's almost as if the anticipation of seeing this child was keeping Simeon alive. And we have heard of stories of someone who maybe has cancer, or someone who is terminally ill, and they want to make it. They want to live. They want to see a child married. They want to see the birth of a grandchild. They want to see something. And maybe they fight and struggle and they make it. And soon after that event, they pass. In some ways, I believe this is it was similar to Simeon. He was like, he's had this promise and he's anticipating, he's holding on. His life is drawing close to an end, but he knows what God has promised him. And we see that all through this time, he remained righteous and devout. And he makes the claim, now I can depart in peace. There's another individual who had been waiting for the coming Messiah, and her name was Anna. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. It says, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him and to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And we're given a little background about Anna. She was a prophetess. Her husband died after 7 years of marriage. She'd been a widow for 84 years. It's safe to say that this woman was over 100 years old. Now, that's rare today. It was even more rare in those days. But yet we see one thing. She remained faithful to God. She did not depart from the temple. Now, she probably didn't live at the temple. There was no rooms in the temple. There was no place for people to stay. But she probably served in the temple day in and day out. In fact, we're told that she fasted night and days. And yet again, we see another individual. When she laid eyes on Jesus, she knew he was the Messiah. She knew he was the one that would bring salvation to Jerusalem. In verse 38, we read, and those who looked for redemption. People were looking forward to the Messiah. They had placed their hope in God's word. And as I said already, their faith had now become sight. They had seen the Messiah with their own eyes. And think about these individuals as we've read through some of this story this morning. They refused to give up. They kept their hope in God. I'd like to tell you this morning, there's a common thread with all three of these people. And the first thing is they all had great faith. They remained true to God's word. They had trusted in what had been revealed to them through the Holy Scriptures. You know, I believe they had reason to doubt, but they refused to doubt. They continued to believe. They continued to serve. And it's because of their faith they had such hope. They were waiting in anticipation for the Messiah. You know, every once in a while, there's times when an event comes up in our lives and we wait in anticipation, right? Can't wait for it to happen. You know, Brenda was pretty excited when a grandchild was born. Should have seen her Thanksgiving Day in anticipation of the kids coming down. For some of us who have not lived in Florida all our lives, when we were in the cold days of winter, there was anticipation for spring, right? Anticipation for the day when the trees would bud and the flowers would bloom. And why did we have that anticipation? Why did we have that hope? Because our life experience said it was coming. It comes every year. Every year about March, it starts to warm up. And so we have faith that that's going to happen again. So we place our hope in warmer days coming ahead. In that case, our faith is based on experience. The kind of faith that these people had was a faith in something that they couldn't see and something that they couldn't know, but faith in God's word and what they had been told, and their hope, and this led to a hope in the coming Messiah. And I would even go on to say that their hope was displayed through their faithful obedience. It was their hope that kept them faithful in their service to God. Zechariah would continue to serve as priest. As Simeon would remain faithful and righteous, and Anna would be faithful and serve and fast day and night. I have to believe that faith and hope work hand in hand. I'm not sure it's possible to have one without the other. I believe that faith leads to hope, and hope leads to faithful service and obedience. And if you're taking notes this morning, I'd encourage you to write that a little bit down. I believe faith leads to hope, and hope leads to faithful service and obedience. You know, as we celebrate Christmas, it is a reminder of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're told that we have been begotten unto a living hope. That living hope is Jesus. So this morning, I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to ask you to respond. And please respond with the enthusiasm that you did with Brad when he said good morning. This morning, I'm going to ask you, do you believe that God's word is true? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that He lived a sinless life? Do you believe that He died for your sins? Do you believe that He was raised on the third day? Do you believe He's coming again? And if you've been able to answer these questions with yes, and you mean it from your heart, you are in the same category as Elizabeth, Simeon, and Anna. And folk, I would encourage you this morning that that hope that we have as a result of our faith should lead to faithful service. A hope that can bring us joy despite our circumstances. And again, for us to continue to keep our faith and keep the hope that we have to choose not to focus on today's circumstances and focus on the truths of God's word. Now, Hebrews 11:1 would say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I made the comment for those in the Old Testament, for the people that we looked at this morning, their faith did become sight. And folks, I have to tell you this morning, ours will too. Our faith will become sight. We will see God. We will see our Lord and Savior face to face. I believe what is laid out for us in the pages of Scripture is true. I believe that our God created the earth in 6 literal days. I believe Adam and Eve did exist. I believe there was a global flood. I believe that Abraham was a real person who was willing to sacrifice his own son. I believe there were 10 plagues in Israel. I believe that God did wonders in the wilderness for 40 years as they wandered around. I believe that God is the central theme in the Bible, and what it says is true. The Old Testament makes it clear He is faithful to keep His promises. It's for that reason that I believe when we read passages like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, that there will be a time when people will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be caught up in the air, and we will be with God forever. It is because of our faith in God's word that you and I have hope this morning. Honestly, I'm not sure where you are this morning. Possibly you find yourself not in the mood to celebrate Christmas. Maybe as I made the announcement of Christmas Eve service, you said, bah, humbug. We're just going to read the same scriptures we read a year ago. We're going to sing a few songs, light a few candles, say a little prayer, and go home. Yeah. Thing is, if we're not careful, we can have that attitude. Just one more thing we got to do. And I think of some of the things as we're plagued with it over and over, as we watch television, as we listen to the news, as we read Facebook or whatever we read. You know, we are plagued with news and information that can cause us to doubt. And when we doubt, we begin to lose faith, we begin to lose our hope, and we begin to fear. Just as faith and hope go together, I would say doubt and fear go together. The question I have for you this morning, which cycle are you in? Are you in a cycle of faith and hope, or are you in a cycle of faith and fear? I pray that it is a cycle of faith and hope. This morning, as we conclude, if you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, as we close, I just want to read verses 14 through 17. As Paul would write, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Folks, if you believe these verses are true, we need to get out of the cycle of doubt and fear. It makes it clear that we have been given a spirit. We have been given the Holy Spirit. If you've here and you've trusted in Christ to save you from your sin, you have that spirit, a spirit that does not make us a bondage to fear, but of sonship. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God. Now, it does say we will have to suffer for a little while. But it also says we will be glorified together. Folks, that's our hope. A hope that's made possible by Jesus Christ. A hope that would not be here had Christ not been born. May this year, as we celebrate Christmas, be a reminder of the hope that we have. May we focus on the truth of God's Word. May we believe it with our heart. May it inspire us to hope into things that are to come. And may it be evident to others. I have to even think about my own life and how I speak to other people in the past few months. What's the topics? What have we spoke about? Now, it used to be before 2020, you would talk about the weather. Now it's all about politics and a pandemic. And looking back, I'm not sure that all my conversations have expressed the hope that I have. The reality is, right now, our world is living in fear, and they need the same hope that you and I have. And I pray that God uses this time, a time that hearts are open, and a time that we see an open door, and we share the gospel message, and we see God use us to bring others to Christ. I'll be honest, I pray that this vaccine is helpful. But I don't know that I have the same amount of confidence as being portrayed. The reality is, the one thing that we can rest assured in, one thing that we can put our hope in and know we will not be disappointed, is in our God. And in the future that He has in store for us. And again, what a reminder that it all started. The plan for redemption, the plan for the gift of salvation, all started in a lowly manger, the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for just the time we've had this morning, the encouragement that Your Word has given to us. And Lord, I pray for each person here this morning. I pray for those who are listening in online. Lord, maybe they are doubting You. Maybe they are living in fear. Lord, I pray that they would be able to turn their attention to the truths of Your Word. May You turn those doubts and fears into faith and hope. And Lord, we know that as a result, they can also have joy. And Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You that it is only because of Your grace, Your mercy, that any of this is possible. And we praise You and thank You for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.